Les colloques du Collège de France.
So today I want to talk about the project that we've been working on the last several years, where we've been trying to find a novel activator of X chromosome inactivation, and we think we have found one, and that is HFC1. So, as you know, female cells, to compensate for the extra dosage of X-linked gene expression, silence one of the X chromosomes by the process called X chromosome inactivation. And this is achieved mainly by tipping the balance between a set of autosomally encoded factors and X-linked factors. And it's been shown by many groups in the last more than 20 years that the pluripotency factor network, which is autosomally encoded, silences the expression of XEs, the long non-coding RNA, in pluripotency. And then when cells will start differentiating, when these embryonic stem cells will start differentiating, these pluripotency factors are downregulated. And then a set of activators come in to kick off, let's say, the expression of XEs that leads to monoallelic upregulation of one of the alleles. And in our group, for the more than 10 years, we've been working with an X-linked protein or gene called it's a U3 ubiquitin ligase, RNF12, which is actually situated here. And we've shown that RNF12 sends Rex1 for degradation, and Rex1 is one of the repressors of XEs. It's a pluripotency factor. So in this way, we found that RNF12 is an indirect activator of X chromosome inactivation. Indeed, we showed several years ago that when we generate a full knockout of RNF12, we see that the cells cannot upregulate XEs in vitro. But then when we knock out its target gene, Rex1, we see a rescue of the phenotype. So the cells can re-express XEs expression and lead to X chromosome inactivation. We show these in vitro, but we also show this rescue in mice. So these mice were alive. So this is an indicator to us that there might be additional activators of XEs that might be X-linked. Additionally, we also show that RNF12 heterozygote cells, they also, even though they're technically like male cells with one copy of RNF12, they can also inactivate the X chromosome, albeit at lower levels compared to wild type. So again, these told us that there might be additional activators on the X chromosome. And this is what we set out to answer, to find new activators. And this work was spearheaded by two great PhD students, Jeffrey Buren and Beatrice Tain. Jeffrey was mostly focused on the wet lab work and Beatrice on the bioinformatics work. So what we decided to do is to generate long or incremental deletions of the X chromosome in the hope to find one of the activators within that deletion. And we generated these in heterozygous RNF12 cells. And as I showed you just before, these cells can inactivate the X chromosome, but at a reduced level, so they're a little bit sensitized. And we found that within one of these deletions, deletion E here, you can see that the expression of XEs dropped. So we thought there might be an activator within this region. We then started generating overlapping and convergent deletions, and we showed that if we delete this deletion E2B, for example, shows the same phenotype as a deletion E, and then E3A, which is here on the and E3B, which is here on the right side, also shows the same phenotype, but E2A and E3A do not show the phenotype. So this is E2A and E3A. They don't show the phenotype. So then we came to the conclusion that in this small overlapping region, we might have the activator that we were looking for. By analyzing data sets that were published, we saw that the expression of HFC1 increases just after the onset of differentiation. And this does not happen for IRAK1. So we imagined, and this behavior of upregulation of HFC1 in these first days of differentiation is very similar to what we've seen with RNF12. So we postulated that HFC1 might be the factor that we were looking for, basically. So we tagged HFC1 with a FKBP and homozygously. And here you can see a Western blot that shows a very clear and neat downregulate or like a loss of HGFC1expression after a couple of hours, and we basically confirm these results by treating the cells, differentiating the cells for a few days, 3 days, and then the last 24 or 48 hours, we saw that by removing HGFC1, we can also see these loss of cyst expression, as happened with the deletions before. And these happen at the RNA level, but also by RNA fish, where we see a loss of cyst clouds in these cells. And it's quantified there on the right. So we send these samples for our RNA sequencing. And we also notice that JPX and FTX, so two activators of cyst, are also downregulated, as you can see here, although T6 and TSX are not. And we, as expected, from a phenotype of loss of cyst, we saw that the X chromosome was not silenced, basically, as was expected. So what is the mechanism? So these indicated to us that HGFC1 might be our potential activator of cyst expression, but what is the actual mechanism? So HGFC1 is a transcription coactivator. It was discovered in the herpes simplex virus. And it's a constitutively expressed protein, and it's critical for cell cycle progression. And this is one of the reasons why we did the conditional knockout with the FKBP, because homozygote knockouts are basically lethal. And it's been shown to tether chromatin modifying enzymes, such as for the deposition, for example, of H3K4 trimethyl. It has several domains in the protein, and one important domain is a domain that you can see here, and that's where the protein gets proteolytically cleaved by an enzyme called OGT, as you can see here. And funnily enough, OGT is also X-linked, which is quite interesting. And this leads then to cleavage of HGFC1, and these different fragments basically interact with each other for its function. Metadata analysis of its interactors has shown that HGFC1 is a component of the COMPAS complex, and the COMPAS complex is very important for the deposition of H3K4 trimethyl at promoters. But we also notice, and has also been published, that HGFC1 interacts with YB1. So here on the right you can see the chipsets from publicly available data of HGFC1 on the left here. And then you can see H3K4 trimethyl deposition. You can see one of the subunits of the COMPAS complex, and also POL2 serine 5. And you can see that they colocalize very neatly, so as was expected. But we can also see that there is some sort of colocalization with YY1. And these for us was actually quite interesting, because as has been shown by the group of Claire 10 years ago, if you knock down YY1, you also lose cyst expression. So these, we hypothesized a mechanism where YY1 might be recruiting HGFC1 to chromatin, because HGFC1 doesn't have a DNA binding domain. So it might be recruiting HGFC1 to chromatin, which might in its turn recruit COMPAS to deposit H3K4 trimethyl at cyst locus, and then this would lead to activation of cyst. So to confirm this interaction between YY1 and HGFC1, we tagged YY1 with a flag tag. We pulled it down and we did mass spec on the interactome. And even though the interaction with HGFC1 was just below the significance level, we saw that YY1 interacts with the ENO80 complex, but also and importantly with the integrator complex. And this is also something that has not been published. And it interacts with the core subunits of the integrator complex, which is also very important for transcription and a release of post polymerase, basically, at promoters. So the question that we had is does HGFC1 mediate H3K4 trimethyl dependent cyst activation through YY1 and integrator? So to do this, to be able to reply to this question, we tagged YY1, in this case, we tagged YY1 with an FKBP, basically the same system we use for the HGFC1. And then we confirmed that by removing YY1, we also see this downregulation of cyst, confirming the data from Claire's group 10 years ago. And we also see a downregulation of JPX and FTX, and a little bit also of T6. And so what we then decided to do is with these cells where we can remove at will one by one, we chip sect different either chromatin modifications or these two proteins, HTFC1 and integrator. And we saw that removal of one by one doesn't lead to major changes in H3K4 trimethyl deposition genome-wide. Around 7 to 8% of HTFC1 peaks are reduced. So it seems that to that subset of HTFC1 peaks, YY1 is recruiting HTFC1 to that. And this is actually known because HTFC1 has been also shown to interact with other transcription factors such as Ronin or ZNF143, GFY, etc. But then when we looked at the integrator binding to chromatin, we saw that around 1/5 of the binding sites of integrator, or one of the subunits, were reduced. So it seems that YY1 does recruit integrator to 1/4 of its binding sites. And then, so this is in the YY1 DTAC line, and we also checked the H3K4 trimethyl deposition in the HTFC1 DTAC line that I was just showing you before. And again, surprisingly, we see that there is not much change in H3K4 trimethyl deposition, even though HTFC1 is a component of the COMPASS complex. So around 10% of the sites have reduced H3K4 trimethyl. So this is at the level of the genome, and the next question that we had is what's happening in the XIC, in activation center. So let me focus a little bit in these locus, and all of these data is shown is from day 3 of differentiation, except when it's written. So as you can see here on the top part, we see the H3K4 trimethyl deposition in the HTFC1 lines or in the YY1 lines. And as expected, we see a loss of H3K4 trimethyl in both the YY1 loss and the HTFC1 loss, as you can see here. But there's not much change at the level of H3K4 trimethyl in the JPX locus and FTX locus, even though we see a downregulation of their expression. So we see loss of the downregulation of their expression, but there's not that much change of H3K4 trimethyl at their promoters. And then we looked at HTFC1 binding in the YY1 lines, and we see that there is not much of HTFC1 binding actually at the cis promoter at day 3 of differentiation, but there is at day 0 of differentiation. So these are male lines that are from the ENCODE dataset, and you can see a little bit of HTFC1 binding. But at day 3, we don't see that much of a little bit of HTFC1 binding, but it does not seem to be dependent on YY1. However, when we look at JPX and FTX, we see that HTFC1 binds more strongly, and at least in JPX, we see that binding is YY1 dependent. But that's not the case basically with FTX. And finally, when we look at integrator binding, we see that there is a little bit of integrator binding to the cis regulatory region, but that doesn't seem to be dependent on YY1. But if we look at, again, FTX and GBX and FTX, we see that integrator does bind and seems to be a little bit reduced, which might explain why we see a loss of expression of these two non-coding RNAs, even though H3K4 trimethyl is unmodified. And we also see these happening at the level of T6. So a complex model arises where HTFC1 might be recruited COMPASS to install H3K4 trimethyl at the cis locus, but at the level of, and which would lead then to activation of cis expression upon differentiation. But at the level of JPX and FTX, this might happen through a different mechanism, which might be YY1 recruiting integrator, which will affect the transcription of these two genes, even though the chromatin modification are unchanged. So to conclude, we've done a forward genetics analysis to uncover a new activator on the X chromosome, and we found one, and that's HTFC1, which is a member of the COMPASS complex. We see that YY1 recruits HTFC1 to a subset of genes, but also to 1/4 of the integrator sites genome-wide. And even though I haven't spoken about this, this seems to be independent of H3K4 trimethyl. And we also see that HTFC1 recruitment to cis seems to be YY1 independent, but it seems to be YY1 dependent in JPX. And we believe that, I mean, we see that the transcription of, or the expression of JPX and FTX might be regulated at the level of YY1 and integrator and less based on the H3K4 trimethyl mark present at their promoter. Several questions that we still have is, we've been looking mostly at day 3 of differentiation, and the questions that we have is, should we maybe look earlier at day 0 to see whether there might be differences there already, and whether the peak that we see, that was clearly seen at day 0 might be YY1 dependent. We're also looking into downstream effects of integrator removal at the level of JPX and FTX, and also we're investigating whether HCFC1 might have other partners basically at the level of the XIC. And with this, I would like to thank all the members, especially the ones in bold, Jeffrey and Beatrice, and then Evelyn and Samuel and Sarah for some work they've done on the silence, and Christina for the mass spec, and of course, Joost. Thank you very much.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.